We find ourselves living in a society today with a lot of difficulties going on, seemingly even unfair happenings, perhaps even in our lives on an individual basis. Or is this only me? Or do you also think that there may be some unfair situations going on in your lives or the lives of other people? You can find one child who may say something to another one. One gets a smaller piece of cake and may say something like, "That's not fair." Americans are proud of their historic documents that assert a form of fairness. These documents declare that all men are created equal. Now, I have a question. Is that true? Are all men created equal? I mean, in one way we can say, well, yeah. And then another way, just by asking a few questions, we start questioning that. What about IQ level? What about the economic status in which they were born? What about they were born or not born with deformities? What about, and the story can go on and the questions can go on. And so just because a document declares it, does it make it so? And if it doesn't make it so, then we ask, is this fair? Weather could be described as either it's fair or it's foul. In baseball, balls can be either fair or foul. And there are many rules in organized sports that attempt to make the game fair or at least equal for both or for all sides involved in the contest. Lawyers talk about fair trials. And kids on playgrounds have a sense of what is and what is not fair based upon their perspective. And I think we understand these things. And so we certainly can see that this is a fair question. But what does the word fair mean anyway? Do we all have the same meaning in mind when we use the word fair? That's not fair. What comes to your mind when you hear that particular question or statement as it comes to you? What comes to your mind? Now, I believe that I could make a case that these could be considered as really challenging questions for a background to look at another question much more important. And that question is God fair? And I do mean for all of us to think about our answer to this question. Is God fair? The book of Malachi describes some people who accuse God of not being fair. They, these people, tell God they did their part in worshiping or in serving him, but they really question whether or not God has come through on his part. Now, I have a major problem, you know, with anybody doing that, but it's recorded for us in the pages of the Bible. So let's go to Malachi chapter 3, and let's take a look at this and see if there's lessons we can learn from this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, "Your words have been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked in mourning before the Lord our host?" In other words, these people are absolutely saying, we did our part. We did our part. They looked at their relationship with God as a kind of bargain or as a kind of an agreement where God was supposed to perform what they expected him to perform. I had someone state to me one time something along the lines of, "I did all that I was supposed to do and I still have a bad marriage." This is implying God is not fair. In other words, here in the book of Malachi and with this church member, they were saying it does no good to serve God. Now, that's not the worst they said, but that's what they're saying. And brethren, that's very much like saying that God is not fair. So what do the scriptures show us about God? Do the scriptures show us that God treats all people the same? Can you think of an example? Well, God treats all people the same. What did God say about Esau? Twin brother of Jacob. Well, let's go and take a look. Malachi, still in the same book, Malachi chapter 1, we see some information here. Malachi chapter 1 and verse 1, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. I didn't write these words. These are the words that are recorded in the Bible, stated in that sense by God. I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains, in other words, he was going to have possessions, a desolation, and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Now, let's back up a little bit more to this statement. God saying, recorded for us in the Bible, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. When was this stated? When they were still in the womb. It wasn't because they were both grown and one of them had chose to live God's way of life and one had chosen to live another way of life. They're still in the womb. You can read about this also in the book of Romans, and we'll read a verse on that just in a moment. So as a result of this, just what I've read, and they know more about the story. They go back and they see the entirety of the story and all of that. As a result of this, many people who look at this story conclude that God is not fair. Now let's go to the New Testament. And I want to see some things where God says that he raised up Pharaoh. Talking about a fair or an unfair story. We know the story. God sets up, that's what we're told, he sets up Pharaoh for the purpose of wiping his nation out to prove that God is God. Then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God knew what was going to happen. He knew this beforehand. God planned it. God even had told Abraham about it hundreds of years before it occurred, that this was going to happen. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 12. Romans chapter 9 and verse 12, we begin. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. For he says to Moses, for God says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. The scripture says to Pharaoh, and this is back in Exodus 9 and verse 16. You can put a mark and you can read it, and this is basically what it says right here. For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he, God, has mercy on whom he desires, and he, God, hardens whom he desires. Is God fair? Is God fair? Was God fair to Pharaoh? Again, many will read this account and say God was not fair. Let's go to another example here, still in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. Let's look at the parable of the penny given to the farm workers. This is one that's referred to as the vineyards. One penny was the agreed upon wage for those who began their work early. Then workers who came later received the same amount, and the workers who were out there laboring for the same 1 hour received the same penny for those who had been out there working all day. Jesus said that the workers complained that it was not fair. Was it? Well, let's read the account. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1. Matthew 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a landowner who went early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, or a penny a day, and I'm going to read in the word penny because it makes more sense to us, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, in other words, the day, the work day at that time, what they're in this analogy was a 12-hour day, because it's 1 hour left, this is what we see. So it goes out about the 11th hour, and found others standing idle, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, go also you into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. He's making a point in doing it in that way. Verse 9, and when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a penny. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. Verse 12, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Now let's pause right here before we go on. One of the definitions in our thinking, or a usage, not necessarily a definition, but one of the words, how we use the word fair, we mean everybody is equal. It's equal on both sides. And that's what they said. You have made them equal to us. Well, they're saying, well, that's not right because we've been here longer. Therefore, we should receive more. So this is not fair, if you follow their reasoning. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I like this. I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Now he's not only saying, what do you mean I'm not fair? I'm going to do the way I want to do it. Now, this is not the attitude, but I'm putting it in an American attitude. You know, what do you mean this is not fair? I own it, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. Take your penny and go your way. I can do what I want. You're the one who's evil. And this attitude. So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. And without any doubt, without any stretch of the imagination, this flies in the face of our American values, doesn't it? That's not right. People go out on strike for less than this. Shut down companies for less than this. Are there cases that we find in the Bible where God is a respecter of persons? It's a fair question. The answer is, God's word says God is not a respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. Now, the statement in the Bible is either true or it's not true. If it's true, then we got some problems with our American values. To accuse God of not being fair, of accusing him of doing something wrong. Now, I don't know about you, and I certainly think that you're going to agree with me, but frankly, I believe the Bible. And I know that God is good. And I also know that God is love. And I know that God is in charge. And I know that whatever decision he makes is always right, and it always for the best for the person involved or the people involved, the nation, the family, the individual, or whatever. And I know that you believe that also. God puts his called out ones into the body of Jesus Christ. Where does he put us? Where it pleases him. I mean, it makes no difference if you want to be part of the ear, but he wants you to be part of, you know, the elbow. It makes no difference if we want to be part of this, but God wants us to be part of this. God puts us in the body where it pleases him. Is this fair? Is it fair that God gets to decide where I am going to be in the body or where you're going to be in the body? Is that fair? I think it's a good question. I think it's a question that we need to ask ourselves. And I think it's a question that we need to know the answer to. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 15. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? I mean, it sounds kind of really, well, let's use highfalutin words, really stupid when you ask it in this way, right? I mean, doesn't it, you know, when you think about it in this way? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less part of the body? And again, when we look at it like this, we go, well, wait a minute, that's different. Well, what do you mean it's different? Is it fair or is it not fair? The answer is, it either is or it isn't. I mean, from our American point of view, is this fair, yes or no? We don't get to decide what part of the body we're going to be in. For all eternity, even today, we're part of the body of Jesus Christ. And then for all eternity, we're going to be part of this. And we don't get to decide. We don't have a say. We don't have an input. We don't have a decision or a voting right. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And he gets to decide the body parts. So again, I ask, is this fair? Should the foot have any right to complain because it wants to be the eye? And the questions like that could go on and on and on. Is it fair that God should be the one who gets to say who goes where in the body? Or should we have some type of lottery system? Or should we have some type of an opinion and cast a vote? And of course, when we think about this and we analyze it, of course, these are all simply silly thoughts. But before we look at this, could I have set any of us up with questions and we would have answered this in a different way? And the answer is probably. Because we're also all are Americans. And we think like Americans. And we think fair and we think unfair. Now, if you would, ponder this with me for a moment. Is mercy fair? Let me put it this way. Was the death of sinless Jesus Christ fair? Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners or enemies, Christ died for us. Was that fair? Was it fair to die for those who hate you? Was it fair to die for those who falsely accused you, who mocked you with a thorny crown, nailed your hands down, spit in your face, plucked out your beard, mercilessly beat you and gnashed on you with their teeth? Was that fair? See, and here's the point. Jesus never complained that what happened to him was not fair. He willingly did it, slain from the foundation of the world. If we look at a 6,000-year plan, he came after about 4,000 years of that plan of men being on the earth. So he knew this for 4,000 years. He knew what was going to happen, and he did it. And never complained, never said, that's not fair. He simply chose to submit to God's will. So what about this fairness thing? Well, perhaps fair is not what we should be questioning at all. I mean, after all, fair is a human way of putting things on a scale, trying to balance them out humanly. Fair or fairness, because the words could be interchangeable in a lot of different situations, fair implies the treating of all sides alike. All sides justly and equally the same. That's what is humanly meant when they use the word, or when we use the word, that's not fair or this is fair. Fair could be looked at and stated, fair is like the blind justice statue that we find in front of the courthouse. In other words, that's fair because it's not going to be swayed one way or the other. It's going to be equal on both sides. Having been in court for various situations, I don't agree that it's fair at all. But anyway, that's the philosophy. But that's the way fair would be. That would be a symbol of fairness if you look at it in a way our human minds think about it. Would be Lady Justice with a blinder on because they're fair. Lady Justice is supposed to be fair to both sides. And she doesn't see differences, and that's what's supposed to be implied there. But we also need to please realize, brethren, that God is not blind to his justice. He is all-knowing. He loves truth and mercy and freely offers those to all, regardless of how horrible their sins may be. What God requires is what? Repentance and faith. And God grants both repentance, and faith. Those are the two things. Now, I know we could break them down. We talk about a lot where you got to believe, we got to do this. We could break it down at all. But when you boil it down, it comes to two separate things. One is repentance. I see myself compared to God, and I don't want to be this way any longer. I want to go in a new direction. That's repentance. Real, real simple. And then to do that, it requires faith. God grants repentance, and God is the one who gives the faith. Okay, when we understand it that way, when we think about it that way, then we understand that God, who grants both of the needed things in our lives, repentance and faith, freely at the time he calls us. So with that, I have another question. What's fair about that? That you're here, that I'm here, that we're called, that we understand, and my neighbor doesn't, and your neighbor doesn't, and your boss doesn't. What's fair about that? John 6:44, no one can come to me, Jesus Christ speaking, unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Is that fair? From an American point of view, is this fair? The answer is no. No, it is not fair. But it is generous. Sin is sin. And sin deserves death. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Not some, not most. All. And then in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages, the payoff for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's fairness has nothing to do with it at all. It is simply, that's profound, but it is simply grace and it is mercy. All of it from God's point. We don't deserve grace or mercy. But this is what God has offered and given to us. Is that fair? We're taking a whole different turn suddenly, haven't we? The question, the truth, is that God is so much more than fair. The truth is that our questioning God's fairness is nothing more than what I would call a clever strategy on the part of the enemy to sidetrack us from living God's purposes. What God is working out in our lives belongs to God, and it is not based upon fair or fairness. Where both sides, and this and both sides here, we'll see it this way for the demonstration, you and your neighbor. What's fair about this? Can I see the hands of all of those who deserve to be called? Of course not. We're not going to raise our hand because we understand. Why you and not your neighbor? Because God is fair to you, but he's not fair to your neighbor. You see, fair has nothing to do with this, does it? So when we look at the question of God's being fair, is really a poor question that blurs God's righteous purpose and God's nature. Because when we step back and we look at God, there's without a question that we have to agree with that God will always be righteous instead of fair. God will always be kind instead of fair. God is always ready to be long-suffering, merciful, and forgiving instead of being fair. God is always just. God's judgments are always right. And God is always good. But fair is not a question with God. If God would give us fairness, we would all die. I mean, after all, what humans mean by fair or fairness is that we deserve something. And by fussing about fairness, we want to get our part and perhaps even a little more. Right? I mean, isn't that really what it comes down to? And the answer is yes. Now, do we understand that getting a little more would make it not fair? But that's what we want. But not being fair seems to be okay with most people when it falls in their favor. Fair? Fair? What does fair have to do with it? God is so much more than fair. And aren't we glad? What I ask for each one of us is that God would bless each one of us with His grace and mercy and love instead of being fair. And we go to the ironic blessing. Is this fair? No, it's God's grace and love and mercy. That there are people who can receive blessings from the hand of God. And right now, that's us. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of us with God's love and mercy and not fairness.